I want to welcome you to this session 12 on our new life in Christ, our foundational Bible class. In our previous session, Jesus Christ shared some phenomenal things. Now, as you look in the four Gospels, there's all kinds of miracles and signs and things that were done by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But he talked about something in the future, some power, something that he said, the works I do, you're going to do, and greater works you're going to do. And you're going to have a comforter, the Spirit of truth, the gift of Holy Spirit. He talked about the results of what his life meant. His purpose was to provide a redemption and a salvation for all mankind. And it would be so fantastic, so powerful, that it was a mystery. Remember the secret? God knew it before the foundation of the world, but he did not share it until later on. And it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, isn't it? Yeah. Yep, Christ in you, the hope of glory. We're in one body in Christ. So, pretty neat. Pretty neat. The reality of this started on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2:4. We saw that in the last session. And we learned about the Holy Spirit is pneuma hagion, correct? Pneuma hagion is that Holy Spirit. And we have a slide here. It is the promise of the Father. This gift of Holy Spirit, pneuma hagion, it is the comforter. It is to be endued with power from on high. It is the power promised by Jesus Christ in Acts 1:8 when he said, you shall have power in your life after the Holy Spirit's come upon you. So then we saw in the last session how people walked out on it. They used that great power, that Spirit of God in them. They operated the manifestations of Holy Spirit. And we saw great records in the book of Acts where that happened. And it was amazing. Amazing. And one aspect that had never been before came on the scene. Speaking in tongues. Of all the things that God could have done to introduce the new birth realities on the day of Pentecost, he could have done all kinds of miraculous things. But he introduced speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues. It must be pretty special. And we saw in the book of Acts that people would speak in tongues. When they got born again, saved, they spoke in tongues. So we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 12:13 and 14. But before we do that, I want to share something with you. You don't have this in your syllabus, but I think it would be good for you to note this, if you want to make notes in your syllabus on this. And there's a word that comes up that, if not understood, it makes for misunderstanding the Scriptures, especially in the field of the Holy Spirit realm. And it's the word receive. Okay, to receive. When we talk about receive, you know, in football there's a receiver, okay, receives. And there's actually two Greek words that are translated this one word, receive. And those two Greek words are dekomai and lambano. Okay, dekomai. And I've got a wonderful resource here I want to share with you this information. And it's the Receiving the Holy Spirit Today by Dr. Victor Paul Weirwolf. I think this is the greatest resource on the Holy Spirit field that I'm aware of. So I'm going to share out of this. Now, dekomai is D-E-C-H-O-M-A-I. And this is to receive subjectively, okay? And it's kind of how we understand the word in our times, where we receive something, okay? Now, there's another word, lambano, L-A-M-B-A-N-O. And that is to receive into manifestation. It is to let go. It is to utilize what you have. I used the football analogy. You have receivers. Well, somebody's got to throw the ball, right? And so the quarterback lambanos what he has, and he throws it out there. He is lambanoing it. That's how this word is used. So you got to be careful when you're reading the scriptures that you understand, is this subjective receiving or is it the manifestation of using it? Okay? So lambano is receiving the gift into manifestation after having received it spiritually. It is objective reception to the end of manifestation. Now, let me give you a quick example on this. In Acts 19, we have an occurrence here where Paul arrives at Ephesus, and he found that the disciples there had been born again. They already were saved. Apollos, in the previous chapter, ministered to them, and they were saved. He taught the word that he knew. He didn't know it all, and it's evident as you read chapter 8. But when Paul met these new disciples, he said to them, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed?" Now, you could easily think, well, wait a minute here. If you can get saved, born again, now is there another thing to receive Holy Spirit? And this has caused some confusion in the church today, where people feel like you can get saved, born again, then there's another receiving the Holy Spirit as a separate act. That's not, see, that's where this word, these two words come into play. Because it's the word lambano. Have you lambano? Have you manifested since you received? Once you're born again of God's Spirit, you have it all. You have the gift of Holy Spirit. You're filled to overflowing. You've got it all. There's no more to receive subjectively. Now, manifest it. Use it. Lambano. That's why this word has to be lambano for the scriptures to fit. Have you received, lambano, manifested the Holy Spirit since you believed? Later, according to verse 6, Paul ministered to them, and they received the Holy Spirit into manifestation, for it states that they spoke in tongues. You know, in the early church, it was common when people got saved, born again, they spoke in tongues right away. But as time went on, people could get saved, born again, but they didn't manifest it. They didn't operate it. So this was the case here in Ephesus as evidenced in Acts 19. Okay? So that's the lesson on Decomai Lambano. All right, let's go to chapter 12. Chapter 12. Verse 1 in chapter 12. We've got a slide on this. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you, what? Ignorant. Ignorant. Now, the word gifts here is an italicized word. And so that means, in the King James, there's no Greek word behind it. Okay? Now, the translators put that in there to make things read smoothly. The word spiritual, though, in the Greek is pneumatikos. Pneumatikos, which literally means spiritual matters. So what is being said here? This is starting some phenomenal subjects on the manifestation of Holy Spirit. And right off the bat, now concerning spiritual matters, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. God does not want us stupid when it comes to the Holy Spirit field on spiritual matters. And today, in many of our churches, there's so much confusion. We've got to go to the Word. We've got to be workmen of the Word to rightly divide it. So, let's take a look at verse 2, okay? I'm going to read with you in the scriptures here. I'm using the King James. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man could say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. You know, with idols, people had these dumb idols that didn't say anything. And so people would get all excited about these dumb idols. But when he's talking about the Spirit of God, you can manifest it. You can use it. You can speak out on it. And of course, I believe it refers to speaking in tongues here. It doesn't say that, but I think in the context, we can see that. But let's move on. Let's see, verse 4. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There's different gifts in the Bible. There's gift of Holy Spirit. There are gift ministries. So they come from the same Spirit, who is God, okay? And there are differences of administrations. Jeannie shared with us about administrations in the Bible. There are different periods in the Bible that are delineated one from another. And we are in the administration of grace right now, okay? So it's making a point of these differences of administrations, same Lord, and there are diversities of operations. But it is the same God which worketh all in all. But, verse 7, and we have a slide on that. I know in your syllabus there's an error there, okay? It says 6, I believe. It should say 7, so scratch that 6 out of there. So, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Every man to profit. Okay? And then it goes through the 9 manifestations of the Spirit. All of them are for benefit. All of them will profit the believer. So it goes through here to for one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, by the same Spirit to another faith, by the same Spirit to another gifts of healing, by the same Spirit to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, speaking in tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. So we have these manifestations of the Spirit, and there are 9 of them, and they're all for profit. They're all for to benefit the believer. While many people call these gifts of the Spirit, it really doesn't say that, does it? It says manifestations. Manifestation. God calls them evidence of this gift of Holy Spirit. Manifestations. Everyone born again of God's Spirit has the capacity and the ability to operate all 9 of these manifestations. It's a matter of learning how to do that. You know, when I first spoke in tongues, I was 20 years old, and I took a class very similar to this in Ohio. And when I started the class, I kind of heard about this speaking in tongues things. I had never heard of it before in my life. And yet here in the Word of God, this wonderful manifestation is laid out beautifully in God's Word. I had never seen it before. And these other wonderful manifestations. So if you don't know you have $1 million in your bank, can you spend it? Yeah, you could have $1 million in your bank. Maybe somebody gave you inheritance or whatever, $1 million. But if you didn't know you have it, you can't spend it. Same thing with the operation of these 9 manifestations. Yeah, you got to know that you have it. So that's what we're learning here. We've got these wonderful manifestations. So did we look at the slide of the, there we go, manifestations? Let's take a look at verse 11, 12, 11. But all these, the manifestations, worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit dividing to every man severally as he will. Okay? Now, this can be confusing for folks because they might think it's dividing to every man severally as God wills. It can be confusing like that. But we know from context, we know how these manifestations work, that it's not how God wills you to work. He's given you all the capacity to do the nine manifestations. It's up to you, the man, to do it. And what really opens that understanding is the word severally. It's the word idios. We've seen this before, right? Of no private interpretation, of one's own interpretation. Same word, idios. So it's dividing to every man as one owns will, as one person wills to do it. All right, so it's up to us. If you will to speak in tongues, you can speak in tongues. If you will to hear word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, God can talk to you. You know, we talk about God speaking to us. How does he do this? Via word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. So these are great manifestations that we have the privilege to use. Well, I want to show you this chart where it says God is the giver. So on the chart, you can see God, he is the giver, and he is the Holy Spirit. Okay, pneuma hagion. What we like to do in our research and study, if it's referring to Holy Spirit God, we'll capitalize, all right, Holy Spirit, HS. If we're talking about the gift, we'll put small case, all right? But he gives what he is. He gives the gift of Holy Spirit, which is God in Christ in you. What a great reality. Well, let's move to chapter 13, okay? 13. This chapter tells us how to use these manifestations. How, in the sense of what's your heart behind doing this? Why are you going to operate these manifestations? And it's all about the love of God. Let's take a look at verse 1 here. 13:1. Though I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. This word charity is the Greek word agapeo. Agapeo. And it literally means divine or godly love. It's the highest level of love. You have man's love, phileo, but this is agapeo love. And the love of God and the renewed mind and manifestations, that we renew our mind to this great love of God that we can have in our life. So it's interesting here. The first thing it talks about is speaking in tongues. And it says, but if you don't have the love of God, you're like a sounding brass tinkling cymbal. And a lot of people that don't believe in speaking in tongues will use this verse to say, well, speaking in tongues, you know, you're like a tinkling cymbal there. It's no big deal. But if we read the next verses, we'll see great qualities of the love of God compared to the faith that moves mountains, about giving your money to the poor. It speaks highly of these great acts, right? Speaking in tongues is the first one it compares to. I think that makes it pretty important. Really does. So when we operate the manifestations, how do we do it? What's the heart behind it? Love of God. With the love of God. And we have the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit in us, don't we? Amen. 1 Corinthians 14. Let's take a look at chapter 14. And we're just going to start in verse 2. We have a slide on that. For he that speaketh... excuse me. All right. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but who? To God. Speaks to God. Wow. When you speak in tongues, you speak to God. Here's a definition of speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is the external manifestation in the senses realm of the internal reality and presence of the power of the Holy Spirit. Speaking in tongues. That's why they spoke in tongues in the early church a lot. It was the evidence that they had received the spiritual gift of Holy Spirit. Let's go to verse 3. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. Next, verse 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself. But he that prophesieth edifies the church. So when you speak in tongues, you build yourself up. You edify yourself. Now, if I speak in tongues to you right now, did that build you up? No, build me up spiritually. But if I speak in tongues and interpret, give the message, the essence of the message that I spoke in tongues, then you understand it, and all of you that heard it could benefit from it. And that's why it says about prophecy. When you prophesy and speak out, the church gets built up. All right, verse 5. I would that you all spake with tongues. Okay, you think God wants us to speak in tongues? Yes, yes. Now it goes on to say, but rather that you prophesy. Why is that? For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh in tongues, except the interpret. Except the interpret. That the church may receive edifying. See, the whole idea of tongues of interpretation, prophesy is for the church, the believers, body of believers that hear the message can be built up through exhortation and comfort. When you speak in tongues, you are built up personally, okay? All right, let's jump down to verse 14. Verse 14, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Now, I just spoke in tongues, right, a little while ago. I didn't understand it. I don't think anybody understood that. And we did read in 1 Corinthians 13:1 that if you speak in tongues like as what men, like men of and angels, in other words, it would be a language of any person on the face of the earth, or the language of angels. Now, I've never heard what that language is necessarily, but so when I speak in tongues, when you speak in tongues, it's a language of men or of angels. And there are times where maybe somebody, if you're learning how to speak in tongues and people are working together and there's people that know different languages, they might hear this tongue and understand it, what's being said. And there's many accounts of that happening. I had that experience when I was helping somebody speak in tongues, and I was doing an example, and they said, I understand what you just said. And I forget what language it was, but that's how it works. That's how it works. Okay, so when you pray in tongues, your spirit prayeth, understanding unfruitful. Verse 15, what is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. So there's two ways to pray. Pray with your understanding, pray in the spirit. Isn't that beautiful? Speaking in tongues is praying in the spirit. Heck, you can sing in tongues, right? Oh, it's a great time when you're by yourself, you're in the car, you're listening to K-Love, maybe, and there's music going on. You sing along, and you can sing along in tongues. Oh, it's great. And it'll work for any tune, really. You don't need a Christian song to do it. So, but it's a great way to speak in tongues a lot. Okay. Verse 18. We're going to jump down to verse 18. It says, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. This is Paul, by revelation, writing the word of God. He spoke in tongues more than all those guys. Does that speak highly of the act of speaking in tongues? The Apostle Paul does it a lot. Yeah, it sure does. Sure does. Well, two more verses here. 39 and 40. We'll go down to 39 and 40. Wherefore, brethren, covet the prophecy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Unfortunately, we have denominations, Christian denominations, that forbid people to speak in tongues in their church. Here it is. Forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. All things. Now, I know there are denominations that speak in tongues, they're into speaking in tongues, but they get really wild sometimes. Real loud, and everybody's speaking in tongues, and it's just a lot of confusion. The key here, let all things be done decently in order. So when we operate these manifestations, decently and in order, okay? We want to remember that. Well, we have covered the key areas of scriptures that handle this wonderful manifestation of speaking in tongues. And it's very obvious that God wants us to speak in tongues. In our next session, we will work in detail what speaking in tongues is not, what it is, and what the purpose of speaking in tongues is, and how to speak in tongues. So that's it for session 12, and we're going to stop there and go into the next session. So if you would, just for a few seconds, if you want to stand up and stretch a little bit and shake it about or whatever, and appreciate the reality of God's love in providing you and me and anybody that believes the word this fantastic gift of Holy Spirit. I mean, can you see why it was a secret, a mystery? It's so huge that if the adversary would have known it, he would not have crucified the Lord of glory. That blows my mind. It's a big deal. And we've seen that. I trust we've seen it. We haven't looked at all the scriptures on the subject, but we've seen quite a bit. The reality of our Christian walk is all about using this new birth spirit. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, we've worked the word. We've seen what it took to bring it together. And now we have the fullness of Christ within, via the gift of Holy Spirit. So what's next? What are we going to do with it? We've received all this wonderful knowledge. Are we just going to sit back and say, hey, I know some scriptures? No, we want to use it. We want to manifest it. We want to live it. That's the purpose of God's word, is to live it, to be it. Boy, if I gave you a brand new car, what kind of car you want? Mercedes-Benz, Porsche, Clarion, okay, a Lotus or whatever it is. And then you park it in your garage and that's it? You don't use it? Man, you want to get in that car and drive it around. Used all the implements that are available in there, the radio and all the other goodies that are in there. What about the Holy Spirit, the gift of Holy Spirit that we have? Utilizing it, using it. Jesus Christ's last words before he ascended up, he said, you will receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. We have that awesome power. We've got it. So now we have the privilege to use it. In three chapters, we saw how much God spoke about speaking in tongues. 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, didn't we? Speaking in tongues is a big deal. The manifestation of speaking in tongues is for all born-again believers to utilize in their wonderful relationship they have with the Heavenly Father. It ushered in the church age that started on the day of Pentecost. It was the one demonstrative evidence proclaimed in the book of Acts to prove that they were born again, saved. The scriptures encourages everybody to do it and forbid not to do it. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 14:5a here. I would that ye all, what? Spake in tongues. There it is. And then the next slide, forbid not. We have 14:39. There it is. Wherefore, brethren, covet the prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. There it is. Well, let's take a look at what it is not. What is speaking in tongues not? Well, it's not gibberish or baby talk. It's not goo goo ga ga goo goo ya, okay? It's not that at all. It's a language of men or of angels. So it makes sense. It fits. It sounds like a language. Now, it's not some special linguistic ability that now I've got the Spirit in me and I can speak Russian and I'm going to Russia to witness to Putin or somebody. Nope. It's not the gift of speaking different foreign languages. There are some people who talk about, you know, I wish I had the gift of speaking in tongues. I'd go to Africa and speak the word to the African folks. That's not it. That's not it. What is speaking in tongues? It is the indication in the physical realm of the spiritual reality of the presence of the gift of Holy Spirit born within. Let's take another look at another point on this subject. It is speaking to your heavenly fathers. Remember 1 Corinthians 14:2, when you speak in tongues, you don't speak unto men, but unto God. It is speaking a language unknown to you. And it's a language of men or of angels. It is praying in the Spirit. It is praying in the Spirit. We saw that in 1 Corinthians 14:14 and 15. So those are some of the things that speaking in tongues is. What is the purpose of speaking in tongues? Well, to communicate directly with God with divine secrets. 1 Corinthians 14:2. It's to edify and to build you up. I tell you what. When I'm having a bad day, you know what I do? I grab my mind and start speaking in tongues. Now, sometimes there might be people around, so I'm not speaking out loud, do decently in order, but just in my mind, I can speak in tongues. Can you talk to yourself? Yeah, I'm doing fine, thank you. No, I just talk to myself. I ask, how are you doing today, Bob? And I said, okay. So you can do that speaking in tongues. Okay. Wow. But it builds you up to magnify God. Acts 10:46. Magnify God. He loves it when you speak in tongues because it magnifies God. Man, doesn't he deserve to be loved and magnified? Boy, what he has done for us, phenomenal. So why not speak in tongues a lot? to speak the wonderful works of God. When you speak in tongues, you're speaking the wonderful works of God, Acts 2:11. Some other great things that are beneficial in speaking in tongues, to make intercession for the saints, Romans 8:26 and 27. So, you know, Jeannie and I will get calls where believers have situations going on, and right away, you know what we start doing? Speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues. Now, we'll listen. Two things. We'll listen to whoever's talking to us, but we'll also listen, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. But for me, speaking in tongues gets the spirit in tune. You know what I'm saying? It gets me in a spiritual mode so that then I can really hear from God. It's pretty neat that we can do that. A perfect prayer for the saints. Wow. Also, it means to give thanks well. 1 Corinthians 14:17. We give thanks well when you speak in tongues. To bear witness that you are a child of God. Romans 8:16. Perhaps the greatest day in my life is when I first spoke in tongues. Because I knew without a shadow of a doubt that I was born again of God's Spirit. That I was a child of God. And I had so searched to have a relationship with God. And when I heard the word and it fit, and then I could manifest this Holy Spirit, man, it was just the greatest day of my life. To know that you have eternal life, you have a relationship with the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Wow. Also, to know that you're a joint heir with Christ. You know, bear with me on this one. Let's say there's an inheritance given out, right? So the lawyer's there reading the will. And then everybody that's in the will is there. Well, when the will of God is read, guess who's in the room with you? Jesus Christ. He's right there because we're what? Joint heirs with him. Isn't that neat? It's also a sign to unbelievers. And we'll have people come to fellowship and they'll hear the speaking in tongues and they'll go, what is that? And it's a sign to unbelievers. Something spiritual is going on. So these are some of the things as far as the benefit and purpose of speaking in tongues. Now let's talk about how to speak in tongues. How do I speak in tongues? Well, first you got to get born again. Okay? You got to get saved, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead. So you're a child of God. You're born again. You have Christ in you. And I know sometimes people think, did I really believe it? I confess him, Lord, but did I believe enough? You know, is God really going to, you know, I'm not that good a person. And I wouldn't blame God for not giving me this gift of Holy Spirit or that I can operate the manifestation. Well, I want to show you some scripture, Luke 11. Would God give you a counterfeit? You ask God with your heart open. You think he's going to mess with you, give you a counterfeit? No. Let's take a look at Luke 11:11. If a son shall ask bread of any of you, that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Well, can't say it any better, huh? So God's not going to mess with you. He's not going to give you a counterfeit. Now, another important aspect in light of how to speak in tongues is understanding the mechanics of speech. I'm talking to you right now, and to do this, I've got to move my mouth, my lips, my tongue. I have to push out the words, don't I? When you speak in tongues, same thing. You've got to use the mechanics of speech. You've got to move your lips. You've got to push out that word. You've got to say it. Okay? God is always there. But you've got to do your part with the mechanics of speech. Freedom of will always applies with God. You have to will to do it. God's not going to shove you into doing anything. He lovingly encourages us, but you have to step out and do it. You take the first step when it comes to speaking in tongues. You open your mouth and speak that word. You know, as I shared earlier with you, when I took a similar class to this and I first spoke in tongues, during that class, it was a week long, and I was in Ohio. I was from North Carolina at the time, living in Ohio, and I was visiting Ohio to take the class. And so that week, as we went through the lessons, I started hearing about this speaking in tongues, and so I thought, man, I'd like to try to do that. And I would go, God, where are you? And so I wrestled around with myself trying to speak in tongues. But during the last session, they did what I'm doing with you, reminding you some of these key points when it comes to speaking in tongues, like the mechanics of speech. So once that was shared and explained to me, I spoke in tongues like a house on fire. Yeah, it was very easy. So just remember, go for it. Just step out and speak those words, okay? So I'd like to do that right now. I'd like to make it available for everybody here to speak in tongues. Many of you probably already do, which is fine. But let's all work together as a family. And why don't you stand up, if you would, put your books aside. And, you know, just remember, God has already filled you. You don't have to beg Him for any more. You're filled to overflowing. So now you do your part. God always does His part. And let's remember the mechanics of speech, that we move our mouth, our lips, our throat. All right? So, Father, I pray for these group of saints here and anybody else that's on the conference call line, Facebook Live, or listening to this at a future date. I pray for their hearts being open, that just to step out on this manifestation of speaking in tongues. And I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, start speaking in tongues. Move your mouth and lips. Kobura matai sakiri biyama polo. Barite sidimi andapa polo kolima na. You've got to say it. You've got to speak it. Simita la bakosoro mumba la klasa. Vero bulbushika nama la kalayande. Okay, stop. Stop. Okay, good. Good. Everybody. Decent in order here. Everybody stopped. Thank you. You got to move your mouth, your lips. You got to say the word. La palokoso mupala. You got to say the first word. And then let it go. Let it keep rolling on. Okay? Now, you can speak in tongues quietly. Or you can speak very loud. Shalapaporokotoso. Your freedom of will, right? God's not forcing or pushing. That's why you have to step out and speak in tongues. Let's do it again, all right? Here we go. Baboroko sono munda yhideke asa. Belitrebiam baboloko suriamamala tese. Teria makala la buburu mahai la kala salamande o kulu kushina anda la kala kaisi. Teri didi mahala halaka buburu mahai kitesi. Okay, stop. Very good. Very good. Kind of like on the day of Pentecost, what the 12 spoke in tongues there. And pretty exciting for sure, for sure. Well, that's it for this session. We're going to take a break and then we'll come back for final words to close out the class. All right, so we're going to do about a 10-minute break and then come back for final words. God bless you. And I did eat them, and they were the joy and rejoicing of our hearts. Really neat. Man can't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So got to keep our head in the Word. Feed yourself God's Word. Number two, grow in your relationship with the Father and like-minded believers. Like Jeannie was sharing, hang out with believers. Go to fellowship where believers are at. If you need to call somebody, a believer, call them. God puts something on your heart to do, do it. Do it. Follow through with what God works in your heart to do. But you want to just that relationship with the Father, just got to build that. You got to see that really big, that it's really, He is really your Father. I know some of us grew up and we didn't have good father figures. I did. I had a good, great dad, but you see His love in the Word. So don't discount your relationship with the Heavenly Father because you didn't have a good one with your earthly father. Yeah. Grow in the renewed mind. Number three. We kind of say the key to power is a renewed mind. Renew your mind to who you are in Christ. And you do that by getting yourself in the Word. Reminding yourself the Word. Have verse retemerary, where you're memorizing verses that keeps that in the forefront of your mind. So grow in the renewed mind. And we do that. We fully identify with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We live in Christ. And then live the love of God in service to the body of Christ and the body of the church. You know, God has a purpose for your life to function in the body of Christ. And I know some, you know, a lot of people just go to church and that's their function in their mind, but that's so minimal. And that's okay. That's a start maybe. But there's things that God will work in your heart to do, but you got to ask Him. You got to open your heart up and say, Father, what can I do to serve in this one body? And He'll give you some great opportunities. I am so thankful and blessed that I've had the privilege to help hundreds of people get saved, born again, see lives changed from death unto eternal life. Oh my gosh, I can't think of anything better I could do for somebody than to help them experience that. So, and then finally, speak in tongues much. Speak in tongues much. That will build you up, remember, edify you, right? We magnify God, we build ourselves up. So just speak in tongues a lot, every day. When you first get up in the morning, and when you're talking to the shepherd counting sheep when you go to sleep, speak in tongues. So these are very basic, very simple, but maybe you can refer to these if, as time goes on and it's on your heart, you have a burden on your heart to grow and to do God's Word, you can refer to this. I know Barney would love to share some things with you. He's been online with us. Great teaching last Wednesday. He's done a fabulous job sharing the Word of God. So I know Barney wants to share a few things. So he's going to come off of mute and share his heart a little bit. Barney.
All right. All right. God bless you all.
God bless you all.
So in these closing moments of today's final session, there's a psalm that I thought would be really appropriate for us to read together, as it reminds us so beautifully of the care and provision we have from a God who loves us so much. Interesting, Bob just mentioned the shepherd. We're going to go to Psalm 23, where the Word of God talks and tells us about God's provision, God's care, and so beautifully laid out, where it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You know, while the shepherd has much to do, the part of the sheep is very simple. It is only to trust and to follow. The shepherd does all the rest. He leads the sheep by the right way. He chooses their paths for them and sees that they are paths where the sheep can walk in safety. When he moves the sheep, he goes before them. The sheep have none of the planning to do, none of the decisions to make, none of the forethought or wisdom to exercise. They have absolutely nothing to do but to trust themselves entirely to the care of the Good Shepherd and to follow him wherever he leads. It is really very simple. There is nothing complicated in trusting. When the one we are called upon to trust is absolutely trustworthy, and nothing complicated in obedience, when we have perfect confidence in the power that we are obeying. So again, in taking these moments at the very end of this wonderful sharing, teaching series on our new life in Christ. You know, we've been drawn into this intimate relationship and fellowship with God. And I would just encourage all of us, no matter how long we've been involved, or if this is the first time you've ever spoken in tongues, to just take full advantage of those things that, you know, we've been so freely given, and just to realize God is the shepherd. And so we want to walk with him and talk with him. And so we have to learn how to connect with him in such a wonderful and beautiful way. And so thankful for Bob, Jeannie, all of you there, and everyone that's been listening to these teachings. And, man, the future is bright. So I'm looking forward to it. All right. God bless you.
Yeah, thank you, Barney. Well, I'd like to close out with prayer. If you'd stand up and grab a hand of a fellow believer, we'll, as much as possible. Can you come up this way a little bit, Daniel? Thank you. That'll work. All right, I'd like Daniel to pray, but first, I just want to thank Daniel for all the work he does to set up and have this place ready to go, and there's other wonderful saints that do that at that, and I'm sure thankful for Gabe and doing the AV, and of course Jeffrey did a phenomenal job putting together all the slides and everything else like that, so real thankful for Jeffrey and his work, and there's been other folks too with the refreshments, the Storks, and all of you just contributing to the work of the ministry, huh? Hey, Daniel.
Well, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, Almighty God, you are so, so good to us. We stand here together as just a fraction of the one body of Christ, Father. with hearts of joy, thankfulness, and humility to serve you, Father God. I thank you for each and every person here and on the airways, Father, that we're all just so inspired to just live our best for you, God. Because without you, who knows what life would be like. And we can't say thank you enough for calling us to be a part of your family. The finished work through the one Jesus Christ, Father, our Lord and Savior. And I think I speak for all of us here, Father God, that to be able to freely worship you, the creator of the heavens and the earth, to have those nine manifestations, specifically the worship manifestations, Father, so that we can praise you perfectly and communicate things on our hearts that otherwise cannot be formulated into words, Father. Because quite frankly, oftentimes we don't have the words, Father, as our vocabulary is just so limited. But we stand here together, Father God, and we claim wholeness and healing and deliverance, Father God, for all those that need it, our spiritual strength. And we stand in one accord against the adversary. And we claim your truth, Father, and we stand to keep walking with you, Father God. I pray for all of these things, and we say thank you once again in that powerful name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. All right.
Amen. Amen.
God bless you all.
Hey, Bob, if I could say one more thing.
We're not going to set up tables.